It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Guys, it's your girl, Autumn Miles. Welcome back to another brand new, spanking new episode of the Autumn Miles Show. I love the show already. We haven't even started, and I'm obsessed. It's my favorite one of all time. It's going to be a good show, you guys. We have a very special guest, a new friend of mine, who I'm going to be introducing here in a little bit. We are rounding out a very long series on food for the soul. We have talked through the woman at the well. We've talked through Gideon. We've talked through Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. We talked through the two boys that just needed to get it right on the road to Emmaus. And today we are capping all that long series with my new friend that I'm going to introduce to you here in just a couple of seconds. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys had the best Easter ever. I was at church to attend church, and then every one of my family members, well, that's not true. The two little ones, they didn't serve, but they were there for like 7 hours on Sunday, and we had such a good time serving, saying hello to everyone, thousands and thousands of people, and it was awesome to be there, and I hope you guys had the best Easter ever. Something really funny happened on my way home yesterday. I love it when I get Moses and Haven alone because, you know, we have an enormous family, and so there's people around all the time, and no one in our family has a small personality. We're all loud. We're all opinionated. Don't let Eddie fool you. He's just as loud as all of us, and he's got just he's got bigger opinions than most of us. But here we are. I'm driving home from being at church for 18 hours, it feels like. My feet are dead. I have to go. I'm about to fry 25 pieces of chicken because that's what my family wanted for Easter dinner. So I'm kind of in like a funk, right? I'm exhausted. I'm on my way home. And so I'm having a conversation with Haven on the way home. And we've got like a hike from our church to where we live. We live far away from our church. So I have a little bit of time with her. And I'm talking to her about Easter service. Did you like Easter? This whole time she is cramming chocolate in her mouth and like Sour Patch Kids and all this stuff. And, you know, she's my fourth kid, so I don't care. It's totally fine. She's going to live. She's eating chocolate for breakfast. She's already had a snack of chocolate. She's eating it. But we're having this little conversation. I said, baby, how did you like church? What did you learn about? What did you learn about? She said, Mom, I learned about Jesus. And I said, okay, awesome. I hope you learned about Jesus on Easter Sunday. Well, what else happened on Easter Sunday? Well, Jesus resurrected from the dead. And I said, yes, thank God you got that right. We've ingrained that into your head. Yes. And she said, Mom, she's already gotten saved and baptized at our church last year. She's already asked Jesus into her heart. She actually got saved on the way to church and Moses helped lead her to Christ. But she said, Mom, I also got saved today. And I said, well, tell me about that. That is awesome. She said, yeah, Mom, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. And I said, you know, you don't want to discourage what she's eight. You don't want to discourage what she's saying. So I'm like right along with it. I said, that's great. So you bowed your head and prayed the prayer as she said your heart. Yeah. And I just let it sit for a minute. And she goes, you know, Mom, I did that four times this weekend. She was in four of the services. I said, you did. You asked Jesus into your heart four times this weekend. And she goes, yeah, I do it every time I can. And I literally sat and I just sat in this moment and I thought, this baby girl of mine, first of all, she's precious and I'm obsessed with her, but she gets it. Like she gets, I need Jesus in my life. I did pastor her a little bit and I just said, baby, you really only have to do it one time. But I love that your heart is so open to receive Jesus in your life. I said, did you mean it last year? She said, yes, Mom, of course I meant it last year. So you meant it when you prayed and got baptized? She said, yes, Mom, of course. I'm in it last year. I just like doing it. So I'm going to pray every time. And I'm like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But we know, you know, one time is all that's needed. So I thought that was the most precious thing ever. I called my mom and told her, and she thought it was the most precious thing ever. And, you know, it's so refreshing to see children understand how they get the fact that Jesus loves them, that he has compassion for them. He is, you know, patient with them. He's kind. They get that at a young age. I remember when I was a kid resonating with all of those words. Wow, he loves me even though I sin and do things wrong. And she's getting that. And so I thought that was the most precious thing ever. We'll probably get another letter from our church saying, congratulations, your child accepted Jesus in our heart. We've gotten multiple letters because they raise their hand every time and stuff, and it's so cute. But I just love how refreshing that is, and I love that she is tender to our Savior at such a young age. And so I wanted to share that with you. That's what's happening in my life. Listen, I want to transition here and get to my friend. His name is Irvin Lee. I have heard about him for a while. I'm actually not sure how long. But I knew I wanted to interview somebody, and you guys know I do not throw just anybody in front of you. You guys know that if I interview someone, it's because God has said, this is an interview that I want you to do. And I actually met him. I knew him through my husband, and we have several mutual friends. I met him in the flesh like a week or two weeks ago, and immediately the Lord said, you need to have him on your show. And I was looking for an interview to cap our Food for the Soul series, and there he was right in front of me. I don't want to take up Irvin's time. I want him to tell you exactly his story and how God has intervened. So, Irvin, I'm so glad that you're here.
Yes.
Very excited. Why don't you walk me through your story, whatever it is that God brings to the surface, with just a focus on that soul craving and how God filled it.
Okay. It is so important that I share that I was raised by three women, three strong women, super duper faithful women, I will say. We didn't have a lot of resources, but in my house, we had a lot of faith. So that's important because my father, while I knew him, he wasn't in my house. So I looked at my dad as really just the guy who came over to discipline me whenever the three ladies who raised me, I call them the three ladies, would call him. So that impacted the way I saw our Heavenly Father. While I was, I'm going to say, I went to church a lot, 3-4 times a week. And this is what I would tell parents. I felt like when I got 18 years old that I was fatigued and I was overchurched. I was overchurched. I was over God. I felt like...
That's so interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, I think parents, there has to be a balance, right? God wants us to have balance. And I just felt like God was this old guy in the sky up there keeping score that I had to serve 3-4 times a week, and I couldn't wait to get away from them. So I ended up going to college. I went to Brigham Young University, which is Mormon. So if you don't know, I happen to be Black, not a lot of Black people, but more importantly, not a lot of Baptists, the Southern Baptists at Brigham Young University, right?
wait, I got to interject. Were you raised Mormon?
No, not at all. Remember I said we did not have a lot of earthly resources. So my great grandmother, who really was took the lead of the family, but really she took her, everything she did prayerfully. So she prayed about it. I was pretty good at football, so I had some scholarship offers. And she said, I prayed about it. The Lord says, send you to Brigham Young because they'll take care of you and they'll make sure you get an education. I can't trust you at any other schools. I believe you'll party and drink too much. See, I was raised by what we call an old saint. She was an old saint. And the old saints tell you the truth. They're like Autumn Miles. They give it to you unadulterated, unfiltered.
A woman after my own heart.
So she said, the Lord showed me I can't trust you. You'll have too much fun at some of these other schools. So I'm sending you to Brigham Young, where you'll get an education and you'll have some discipline. And she was right. So I did graduate. I went into corporate America, ended up spending about almost 25 years in corporate America. Always had this bug to be an entrepreneur. I spent most of my career in beer, wine, and liquor. So when I got out of corporate America, I got into the liquor business. Now, this is probably not a great business for someone who's predisposed to alcoholism. So my life was dominated by, I'm going to call them the three W's, wine, women, and wealth. Wine, women, and wealth. Those were my sins of choice. Those were the things I tried to fill the void of no God in my soul, right? And I just felt like if I could get enough women, if I could get enough money, if I could just find a way to make myself happy. And I will say this, I was in shock when I got all the things that the world tells you you should have. And I've never, when the bank account was the fullest and there were multiple cars in the driveway, I've never been unhappier. I woke up one day and I said, what is wrong? The world lied to me. And I had that American dream and it became quickly an American nightmare. So I'm running these liquor stores. I have time, no resources, and no God. Time, no resources, and no God. That's a dangerous combination. So I end up, stopped going to work. The enemy brought friends who thought like me and wanted to chase the things of the world like me. So we went at it. And over a 4-year period, I drove myself into complete alcoholism to the point where I woke up one day. I literally could not get out of bed. And I said to the Lord, you know, I'm finished here. I'm done. Just give me death. And to think about that now, I said, man, you asked the living God to kill you. What were you? That's how desperate I was, because I couldn't imagine my life without alcohol and I couldn't imagine it with it. I tried everything to feed my soul and nothing was working. And when I asked him for death, he says this to me. He says, I don't give death. I give life. Get up.
Woo!
I said, whoa, okay.
Wow.
And then he gave me the energy to get up, and I went in and asked my wife to find me a treatment center. And that's why we have the ministry now. I watch my wife try to run the business that we were stewarding, do her job, and figure out what to do with her drunk husband, right? She had her own career. So she's trying to do all this, and I'm watching her cry because she can't find a solution. And that's what our ministry is about, is bringing awareness around that addiction is a disease. It's not, you're not built faulty from God's factory. It's a disease, and it affects the mind, the body, the soul. And so the other thing is we want to be the conduit to help people get help so that people don't suffer like my wife did for 48 hours crying, trying to figure out what to do with her drunk, lost husband.
Okay, let's go back because you just gave us so much. I know exactly why I wanted you to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because this is your story, while it is, you know, shocking, but it is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have people everywhere, people that are listening, Irvin, right now, that are using, you said wine, women, and wealth.
Yeah.
That are using, we have all sorts of people that listen to the show, and they are using one, maybe even all three of those things to fill something that they think is promised to them once they get to a certain level.
Yes.
And it's the thing that the, what am I trying to say? What is it when something keeps moving? like the goal keeps moving.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe you have, I don't know, $100,000 in your bank account. Well, what about 150?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about 200? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, 200 didn't make me happy. And I mean, you know, that's a lot of money, but it's constantly moving the goalpost.
Yes.
You have one woman. Well, what about having a woman on the side? You have one drink. Well, what about a whole night of drinking?
Yep.
You know what I mean? The goalpost is constantly moving. It is the carrot.
Yes.
That you are never going to reach.
No.
Ever.
Not at all.
Speak about that for a
minute.
Well,
the hardest part about sin, I'm going to call it sin, because people say, well, what was the root cause of why you fell into addiction? Because I love sin. I loved women.
Yeah.
I love money. And I love drinking. So the wine, women, and wealth. I call them my three W's of weakness, my sin. I love to sin. But the thing is that sin is never satisfied. And to satisfy it, you think in your mind, you really have to keep doing it. And you got to keep doing it more and more. And at a point, it just stopped working for me. The women stopped, the drinking stopped, and the money stopped. And then I'm sitting there going, whoa, this is not what I was promised. The enemy just shows you the good. He never shows you the consequences, the despair and the destruction and all of the collateral damage that occurs.
I feel like, can we just pause for just a second? Because
yep.
I feel like someone is right there that's listening. Okay. They've chosen one of these steps or their medicinal addiction of choice.
Yep.
And they are faced right now with consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that same thing. How did I get here? Where is my life going? Where is God in all this? And we're going to take a turn here with Irvin's story here in just a second. But I want you guys to understand that where you are is not where you have to stay. Okay. We serve a God that resurrected from the dead. And where you are, you can take the next step, and the next step can be towards healing. The next step can be towards Jesus. The next step can be towards hope. So I think it's very, very important, because I know that there are people, we've heard, Irvin, so many people have contacted us and said, this is exactly what I needed. You, I don't want to tell you what I'm dealing with, but I'm at a place where I feel like I'm too far gone and I don't know where to begin and I don't know where to start. What would you say to that person that's listening?
What I would say to them is God is love. God is love. And in his demonstration of that love, he gives us mercy. Mercy is withholding punishment, but it is also this, giving us relief in our distress, in our addiction, in our disease, in our sin. And then he applies that mercy to you so that you can then become all he has called you to be as he walks you through the process. And don't miss this. It's normally a process. I come from a really religious background. Of my family was like, you can't go to treatment. You need to pray it away. I tried praying for years. Mm-hmm. That was not the process God had for me. God said, you're going to go sit down for 31 days and I'm going to work on you. And I'm going to, over time, relieve you of the disease that is known as alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great. Let's pivot to there, because let's talk about your treatment. I am with you. I'm a huge fan of counseling. Both my parents are biblical counselors. You know, I'm the person that's like, every pastor needs a pastor. Yeah. Everyone needs a pastor. Everyone needs a leader. Everyone needs someone that can lead them, that can counsel them, that can help them. I think it's just a naive mindset. And I actually think this is how Satan gets us, to think that we don't need help.
Yeah.
When a lot of times treatment options, counseling, all those things are resources that God puts in our hand in order for us to practically walk out healing. So, okay, so you have this night where you're like, Oh my gosh, I need to get help. You go to your wife, who is precious, by the way. I've met her as
you.
Well. She is so
God
precious.
Bless me.
And very smart. She's very smart.
She lets me know, you know, I'm the smart one. I go, yeah, you are.
I love that. Well, you can tell. Yeah. She's sharp. She knows her stuff. And I love a woman like that. So you go to her and you're like, I need help.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that process, because I think a lot of times we'll reach out for help and then we'll do 5 steps forward and then 7 steps back.
Yeah.
And then we'll do 6 steps forward and we'll do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a back and forth. It's an unlearning. Mm-hmm. It's a healing. I want to hear your perspective on that.
Well, what I would say is we initially surrender. Then the reality of, whoa, I just committed to going somewhere to work on myself and get help for the thing that most times has become your God. So that is going to create fear, shame, and doubt. So God often calls us to take a step of faith. So what I did was I said, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm actually mad at God. I haven't been with the Lord in a while, but I know I can't do this on my own. That was my reality. So I walked into treatment and I didn't discover the goodness of God until about a week and a half in. I actually said to myself, I'm just going to be spiritual. Now, Autumn, I don't even know what that means. I had a guy, I was pontificating about if I had a better wife, if I had been raised differently. It was everybody else's fault but my own. And this guy sitting across from me, he said, hey, man, Lee, shut up. Just shut up and take some accountability for yourself. And you know where I'm from, if a grown man tells another grown man to shut up, that's, you got to fight. So I wanted to fight him. But then I'm looking in his eyes and I'm like, and then he says this, he says, and you're not going to be spiritual. You're going to return to the Lord God. Get that Bible. And we're about to go through this Bible. And I'm really mad at that point. But
wow.
Then I'm realizing, you're right. And this is really not you speaking. So he became my friend and led me back to the Lord. And I actually ended up taking care of him for a year while he had stage 4 bladder cancer. And he's the reason I started the ministry. He struggled with addiction for 38 years, was sober the last year of his life. And the Lord worked selfishness and self-centeredness out of me, because I had always said, oh, no, I'll never clean up behind another man. I'll never wash another man's clothes. The Lord said, oh, yeah, really? Here you go. Take care of him. Mm, so I had to take care of him for a year, and I did all those things. I was squeamish at blood. He had 2 bags coming out of his back. So all of those nevers, God says, oh, here you are. Work this out right now. So I learned so much. But this is what I would tell people about treatment. God created doctors, counselors, and treatment centers because he foreknew that we would need them. Because this life, I've yet to meet anybody who I don't believe needs counseling. Mm-hmm. who doesn't need community. And here's the other thing. A solo Christian is a dead Christian. Mm. Solo Christian and believer, you're dead. Because at first the enemy's going to put you in community, then he's going to separate you. And then it's just going to be you and him like it was with me. And he's gonna wear you out mentally, because it's the battlefield of your mind, your soul, right? Our soul is so precious. It's the most precious thing. The enemy wants it, the world wants it, and God wants it, right? So you have no protection if you don't have community. And then when you have a problem, I want everyone to listen to this. When I have a problem, I seek counsel or counseling or treatment. There is nothing to be ashamed of. I met doctors, lawyers, pastors, all of those people I met in my 31 days in treatment. And I'll go on record and say this. I know it's going to sound crazy. the most fun I had and the most intelligent, most authentic and real people I met in those 31 days at that treatment center.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I went through a period a couple of years ago. Last year, our whole year, one of the main themes of the year here that I would keep encouraging the listeners to do was to heal. It was a year of healing. And a couple of years ago, I mean, I've been through a lot. I mean, I know, Irvin, you listened to my show, but, you know, going through years of domestic violence and then, you know, what that does to your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
About yourself, and then getting kicked out of a church and, you know, all this stuff at a young age. And then there's so much to it. Being a woman in ministry, right there, you need counseling for that. Yeah. But I really took a couple of years ago an extended period of time where I just said, God, what is not healed in me? Mm-hmm. What am I glossing over? What am I moving past quickly? Because I would have these moments where I would have a twinge of anxiety, or like something wouldn't sit with me right, or I'd have a conversation with a friend and, you know, we call it triggered.
Yeah.
But there would be something in me that I just thought, that is just, why is that there? Where does that come from? So I took a whole extended period of time and really got to the root of some of the things that I was struggling with through counseling, through books. I read a couple of books, and the awareness that the Holy Spirit brought to Autumn, this is stuff that you're struggling with. And he said, you do not have to struggle with it anymore. Yeah. You don't have to feel this way when someone says this word. You don't have to feel this way when you see this. You know, you can face some of these soul cravings really in your life that need me and that need healing and things like that. So when you're talking about counseling, I am feeling like, and just, you know, community and things like that, I feel like there's some people that are listening that are saying, I need counseling.
Yeah. And the way the enemy keeps us from counseling is shame, right?
Yeah.
Shame. Shame is one of his greatest tactics. As you talk about root causes, the Lord dealt with me one by one on my addictions, because by the time I got, you know, to treatment, man, I realized I had a myriad of actual addictions. Alcoholism was the main one, just one of them, right? And he took them, he was graceful, and he took each one of them one by one, and I dealt with them. And I'm going to make people, especially believers, feel more comfortable about going to get counseling. The most underutilized person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. Most misunderstood and underutilized is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he says, I will send to you. He's your comforter, your advocate, your helper. Use your help. If there's any advice I will give you, say, Holy Spirit, what do I do here? Consult, talk to him, ask him to lead, guide, counsel, and equip you for your counseling session, surrendering to treatment, helping you get past these traumas that we all go through, because we live in such a fallen world that we're all impacted, right? And this is the other thing I will say about treatment. 90% of people's perception about what treatment is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. What I thought it was absolutely wrong. I love my counselor. And remember that I told you I was raised by three women. Well, when I get to counseling, my counselor happened to be a female pastor, older Black woman. You think that was a coincidence? No. God knew that I would listen to that, her. He knew that because I was raised by what? When I looked at her, I felt like, oh, this is my mom. This is my grandmother. This is my great grandmother. Oh, she knows what she's talking about. She had no problems out of me because I knew I was raised by what I was looking at as a counselor. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had to talk about her to her about my sexual sins, all the stuff, right? All my baggage that was piled up in my closet. And what I would also say to people, the importance of unpacking your closet. We oftentimes let our closet of sin, shame, resentment, trauma get so full that it overcomes us and it becomes depression. It becomes addiction. It becomes the problems that keep us away from community counseling and, most importantly, the living God.
Yeah. You say unpack your closet. I think that is, let's talk about that for a minute, because alcoholism was really probably a symptom of a much greater deficiency somewhere in your life that hadn't been filled,
yep.
which probably triggered multiple things, like you just said. So unpack your closet. I know those triggers for me, I started poking in at them and looking at them, and it was like, wow. You're struggling with this that happened to you when you were 12 years old, and you don't even realize, yeah. Autumn, what you're dealing with. Yeah. The idea of unpacking a closet can be intimidating.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, what are we going to pull out of there? And what does this process look like? But why don't you speak to what happens on the other side of that and how you are set free on the other side of doing that process?
Yeah. Once I went through the process of unpacking the closet, the sin, the resentment, the shame, the root causes of my addiction, I never felt lighter. And I remember someone said to me when they saw me, someone I had to go make amends to, and it was a lady, and she said, "You look so much lighter. You look great. You look like light." And because I was free, I finally admitted to another person everything that I could recall that I had done wrong, every resentment. I had written that down, and I had to go line by line. Man, that was painful, but it was so freeing, right?
Yeah.
And when you accept Christ, we have to continue to remind ourselves of what I'm about to say. When you accept Christ, your sins are forgiven. He remembers them no more. Now, the process is we remember them. This is my simple prayer, and I got from my uncle, who was a pastor. He said, I asked God to black out my past. So, and he said that was a prayer he prayed every day. So I pray that prayer. And now people say to me, sometimes my old friends, I run into them and they say, "Hey man, you remember when you were at that club and you did that?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, no. Wow. You have to remember. And I go, "No, I asked God to black it out." And he did. Some of that stuff I don't remember. I don't remember anymore. And when the enemy, he loves to bring up our past, man. When he brings that to me, I say, "Hey, look, God remembers that no more. I'm not remembering it. God is love. God loves me. God has a good plan for my life. I have scriptures that I quote back to the enemy. No weapon formed against me shall prosper." I got him on standby because he's going to come with your past. And you have to leave your past in the past after you have unpacked your closet. And then the other thing that I say for me is key. Every night when I get home, I spend time unpacking today's closet. My mistakes, the people I did wrong, the things I said to my wife or someone, anything. I unpack it because I need that space. I only want that space to be filled with good thoughts, good things, and the presence of the Almighty God.
I love that you said you feel lighter, because a lot of times when we don't face some things that we know we need to face, that is the very barrier to that joy that God is talking about in the Word. And I think I did a series one time about freedom, about how you may look free, but you don't feel free.
Yeah.
And you may walk like you're free, but you don't feel free.
Yeah.
And this is a key element to that. Facing some of those things that you know you need to, fighting some of those triggers, getting counseling, you know, those types of things. I didn't know you before, but you do look light today, Irvin. You do look light.
Oh, thank you.
Let's transition a little bit to post-treatment.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've written down several things that you said. You know, you had everything that you needed, but you've never been more unhappy.
Yeah.
And you realize that, you know, you were trying to fill your life with the wine, women, and wealth. But now we're post-treatment. We've gone to counseling. We faced our demons, so to speak. Now what? What's on the other side of facing that?
Lorraine. And for those of you who don't know, that's my wife. Well, I come home and I'm thinking, man, I am now super husband. So I got involved in the church. And so my wife, I'm noticing I'm getting ready to go to church. And I had been going for maybe like about a year straight, right? And my wife's not going. So I call my dad and I said, Dad, you know, I'm sober. I'm faithful. I'm thinking, man, I must be a superhero of a husband. So I'm bemoaning to my father about Lorraine's lack of wanting to accompany me to church. And my dad said, hey, son, how long were you in the world doing stupid things? And I said, for a long time. He says, well, why don't you keep doing what you're doing? And once you show her some consistency and commitment to the new man that God is building in you, she'll eventually come along. And then one day I kept doing what I was doing, right? I needed to be consistently consistent. To be consistently consistent to show Lorraine and rebuild. I look at it like this. We all have a trust account. Starts at 100 and we run it down. And I'd run mine down to about -2. So I needed to be consistently consistent to rebuild it and show her that I was committed to being a good husband, a good man of God, and just a good friend. And that took time. I wanted everything to be fixed. And I remember her saying to me, she said, we were laying in bed one night and she said, I don't know if and how to forgive you. I don't know if I can. And I don't know how for the things that I did during our marriage that weren't in alignment with God's will for marriage. And so to me, I'm sitting there going, whoa, 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 you need to get over all this. I'm fixed now in my mind, right? But while I was sober and loving the Lord again and walking with the Lord, I'd done a lot of collateral damage. And that took years. And we're still recovering from some of that to rediscover our intimacy. She trusts me now. We started back then giving myself a grade from 1 to 10. So my first score, Autumn, I'm going to give some guys some hope. I run home. The guy who's discipling me says, go home and have your wife rate you as a husband from 1 to 10. So he had me and 14 other guys do it. So I run home. I'm thinking, man, I'm sober. I don't cheat. All the things. Read my Bible. And Lorraine, I said, Lorraine, what's my grade? 1 to 10. She says, without hesitation, with no hesitation. She said, you're a 2, but you were a -2.
So growth.
Yeah. Hope. Hope. A man needs hope.
Hope.
Right?
Yeah.
So I said, oh, I was a -2 down, but oh man, I'm on the upswing. I'm good. And so I got back to the disciple meeting, right? And we're going around the room, man, these guys are 9, 8, 7. And the last three guys, he was a 5, one guy was a 4, and I was a 2. And our discipler said, there's 3 guys in here whose wife told them the truth. And I was one of them. I was one of them because I said I gave my real grade too. So fast forward almost eight years later, my grade this past year was a 7. I thought actually I'd be maybe a 5, 6. She gave me a 7, highest score I ever had. So so for all you guys who fall down, get back up. There's
Amen.
Hope. There's hope.
Yeah. Yes, there definitely is. See, I love a straight shooter just like that. She's special. Okay, so you rebuild and continue. I feel like we're constantly rebuilding, building our marriages and rebuilding trust. If you've been married for more than 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Listen, Eddie and I are going to be married 20 in May. And it's it's a give and take.
Yes.
You know, we mess up. We got to get back, together and trust each other. And sometimes it's a process. It's a longer process than other times.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that's marriage. So you sort of rebuilt that. Now, tell me about the Lord and really finding him as what your soul was longing for all along. I mean, tell me about that and then just where God has taken you since then.
Okay. If I had to describe my life in one sentence, it would be this. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Where purpose is not known, abuse, addiction, trauma, drama, suffering is inevitable. I never knew my purpose. And once God defined my purpose for me, then I started to walk in it, believe in it, and trust in it. And the other big mistake I made was I got confused around God. God was and is my source. I thought my resources were the source. So God had to say, you got me confused, young man. Let me just take all your resources and then you'll have just me to depend on. And then you'll understand that the resources aren't the source. I'm the source. The Bible says clearly he's the one that gives us the power to get wealth, to be successful, depending on the translation. So I had that confused. I thought I actually built something. No, I built it on sand and it crumbled when the storms came. And now I'm clear that every good thing comes from the living God and that he is my source. The things that he gives me, whether it's money, ministry, those are just resources to impact and influence for the kingdom of the living God.
That is so, okay. So I came to this very exact same realization years ago. And that's why when something falls through, or when you do have a surprise that's like, traumatic, like, oh my gosh, where did this come from?
Yep.
You always go back to the source of the Lord. Okay, God, I pray this prayer all the time, probably thousands of times in my life. This is not my problem. You are my source. Yep. You are my center. You've got to face this for me and you've got to walk me out of that. I feel like if people would get what you just said and you said so eloquently, we wouldn't have so many addictions. We wouldn't have so many people trying to search to fill their souls with things that ultimately will never satisfy them.
Yep.
The source, he is the source of all your resources.
Mm-hmm.
And he has given us the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I did a whole message on the Holy Spirit is your number one resource.
Yes.
No matter what, you need help, you need counsel, you need direction, you need comfort, whatever that is, it truly is found right in the Holy Spirit of God. So that right there, I feel like is an amazing takeaway to someone that's going, where do I begin? Where do I start? Well, maybe it's that your foundation is off.
Yes.
And something else is your source.
Yep.
Maybe your job is your source. Maybe your marriage is your source. Maybe your bank account is your source. I don't know what it is, but that needs to be replaced.
Yes.
That needs to be replaced and it needs to be put away. And this God himself needs to be the source, the foundation, the rock of your life. And then everything else follows.
Yes.
Sorry, I wanted to.
That's good.
To
That's
grab
good.
That
You're
real,
preaching
real
to me. You're reminding me. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank
it's,
you, Autumn.
It's really hard not for me not to preach. I'm a preacher girl over here.
Preachers preach.
Yes. Yes, we do. So what are you doing now?
Okay.
Tell us where to find you.
Okay.
Tell us all the things of how God has really, at this point, given you fruit to these decisions that you made years ago.
Okay. So I am now running a ministry. And we have a show as the same name as the ministry. So we have our ministry's called From Beer to the Bible. And From Beer to the Bible, we do two things. And we talk about addiction and we try to remove the stigma around addiction. And from there, people come to us through our church partnerships, through our show, and then we're the conduit to getting people to treatment, counseling, 12-step recovery groups quickly. When someone comes to us and says, hey, I surrender or I need help, our goal is to get you to your treatment center or your counselor within 48 hours. So we've been doing that since 6 of 2017, and we've helped over 1,600 people get the treatment that they need from drug and alcohol addiction.
This is amazing because I know that need a good, reliable, trustworthy source that can actually help them that are listening right now. Where do they go to find you? A website?
Yes. Let me give it to you now. So you can find us at frombeertothebible.com. That's frombeertothebible.com. And we're this serious. I am this serious because the way I suffered, I never want another man or woman to suffer the way I did. If you just need help or someone to talk to about addiction, this is my personal cell and you can have it. It's 303-641-5193. If you're afraid to call, text and tell me that you need help. We will do everything possible. And here's the great thing about the ministry we do. All of our case management services are at no cost to you. We're supported by churches and individual people that love what we do. So my goal is to do ministry and help those who are suffering from drug and alcohol addiction and help you find the resources to relieve you and get you freedom. So we'll do everything we can. And this is the other thing I'll say to people. Whether you have insurance or you do not, whether you have money, lots of it or none of it, there are resources and treatment centers and programs available for you, and we'll help you get to those quickly.
Irvin Lee, I'm so thankful that you came on the show today. Oh. Very, very thankful. I'm so glad you're here. I feel like your story is what people needed to hear in whatever addiction or whatever way they're trying to fill that craving in their soul with something other than Jesus. And I just feel honored to know you and now be friends. Well, now we're friends.
Like I said yesterday, you're my old new friend. My old new friend. But let me say this to you. I told you we've helped over 1,600 people. That's your fruit. Because early on, I was, man, life can go either way. And you helped me to stand firm on the word of the living God. You showed me someone who had my life experiences, who had a passion for Christ like I did, that, man, God can use me in a mighty way. And that all comes from me listening to the Autumn Miles show and your daily encouragement when I was in that truck going, do I want to stay with the Lord or do I want to go back out there?
Yes, you do.
I know. And you always had a word, right? You always had a word. So thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your daily encouragement. Thank you for the work and the fruit that you are bearing for the kingdom of the living God. I am so happy and proud of you. You keep going and you keep the faith and keep trusting God.
Amen. Oh, thank you for saying that. I'm going to cut that clip and keep it in my phone and listen to it when I'm having a bad day. This is fruit. This is fruit, Autumn. God bless you. Okay. Is it okay if you would pray for our listeners out there, just specifically those that are, they're just struggling, man.
Yeah,
they're just struggling.
Yeah, for sure.
If you could just really, let's support them. And we'll close out in prayer. So I'm going to let him be the last that you hear. And when he says amen, we're done for the day. But you can join me next week for a brand new episode of the Autumn Miles Show. I love you guys so, so much. Thanks for listening. And please share this with someone in your life that is just struggling. If it's not you, you know of someone. I mean, I know of people right now that I can share the show with that it can help them. So share it and encourage other people. Don't just keep it for yourself. But I love you so much. I'll see you next week. Go ahead, Irvin.
Gracious God, we come before you thanking you for your love, your grace, your mercy, but most of all, your long suffering towards us. I ask that anyone out there who is suffering from drug, alcohol, or any addiction, any problem, any trauma, any depression, any sickness, will surrender and call on the name that is above all names, Jesus, and just say, show me, God, that you are real. For all those who don't know the Lord, just say, show me that you are real, Father. For those of you who know, our listeners that know the Lord God, let them lean into him. Let them surrender to the leadership, the guidance, the counsel, the advocacy, and the comfort and the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Father, everyone who can hear my voice, I pray a blessing over them, over their families. And I ask that you bless Autumn and her family, my family, and every listener. Yeah. I pray that you bless us spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, vocationally, ministerially, but most of all, bless us with your divine, almighty, and all-powerful presence. Because in your light, no darkness, no sickness, no disease can stay. We love you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. May we keep the faith and always hold on to our faith in Christ Jesus. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Autumn Miles Show. Be sure to follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to stay connected and in the loop with what's happening with the ministry. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. AutumnMiles.com is also the place where you can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. She is devoted to spiritually challenging people and the way that they think. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. Reach out today and book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once you're there, search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab, then scroll down for more information. Thanks again for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show. Are you new to this whole Jesus thing and don't know where to start? Or maybe you've been following him for a while and you want to dig deeper into the Word of God. Then you've come to the right place. Each month, Autumn hosts an online, in-depth Bible study through Facebook Live called The Jesus Initiative. The Jesus Initiative is a monthly spiritual challenge to anyone willing to join and grow deeper in their faith. She covers topics such as how to wait when waiting is hard, moving forward in faith even when you're terrified, and how to combat the spiritual warfare in your mind. Autumn's desire is to help break down complex topics in a way that's easy for everyone to understand and implement into their everyday lives. The goal of the Jesus Initiative is to tackle real-life topics in a real-life way, grounded in the Word of God. Understanding the things of God doesn't have to be hard. If you're a believer who wants to grow in your faith and strengthen your relationship with God, these Bible studies will challenge you in all the right ways. Simply search Autumn Miles on Facebook or follow her on Instagram at Autumn Miles and click the follow button so you can stay in the loop for when the next Bible study starts.